Welcome to X's and Omar Overtime. Alongside Chris Perkins, I'm Matt Lincoln. Thank you so much for watching the first show of the season.
Should I have taken the jacket off? I should have been more casual, right? Because
no,
this is the overtime.
Is you want to?
I got the mic attached. So you got a tie. You got more class.
I've got my microphone in my jacket, I can't do it either. All right, I'll button back up. Okay. So we're going to take some of your questions on Twitter and also some of the questions that you've had in the YouTube chat. So we're going to take your YouTube chat questions first. So, Josh, Miami had the third worst run defense last year. Are they better equipped to handle the run this year? Can they contain a player like Melvin Gordon?
That is a great question, Josh, and we don't know the answer to that. That's a big key to the season. Yeah. I mean, can you stop the run? 28th 2 years ago, 30th last year, and you've got to be better because – or else – you know, you heard Clyde Christensen and Ryan Tannehill during the offseason talk about the lack of the number of offensive plays that they ran. They were last in the NFL in offensive plays, and a big part of that was because they couldn't stop the run, they couldn't control time of possession, and so other teams are reeling off these 12, 14 play drives. They're getting into third and manageable situations because they've gained yards on first and second down on the ground, and so that leads to the eight-man front and a lot of one-on-one opportunities, and everything just goes downhill. So they better be able to stop that run and stop Melvin Gordon. He's going to be fired up. What did he have, 56 yards last week, 65 yards rushing, something like that? Coach Anthony Lynn was saying that Melvin Gordon's got to be more effective. By the way, Anthony Lynn, a guy very familiar with the Dolphins, has been in the division with the Jets and the Bills since 2009. So there's a familiarity there. And it works the other way, too. The Dolphins know what he likes to do. But you can bet he's going to try and get Melvin Gordon going. And if the Dolphins can't stop him, I suspect he'll be fairly effective. They're going to have a hard time winning.
Yeah, and Gordon's not a big speedster. He's not a guy who's going to break off a 60-yarder. Even, I think, probably Ajayi is still even more of a dangerous runner than
I agree.
Gordon is. But
he's dual purpose. He's a yardage guy.
Right.
You look up after the game, and he's got like 119 yards from scrimmage, and it's like, wow, he was pretty effective.
And I think that, I mean, there are two ways to be bad against the run, right? There's not being able to stop guys from getting 15-yard chunks,
right,
and there's not being able to stop teams on third and one.
Right.
You know, and Gordon's kind of that third and one guy. He can get it, you know, even though that offensive line, I don't think for San Diego is that great.
Right.
When it's the first third and one of the season.
Right, exactly. You know, what's going to happen?
And
look, the other thing, Matt, with being able to stop the run is you know how close NFL games are now. If you're down by three with, say, 6-7 minutes to go, you cannot let that team run the clock out. You cannot, and that's what Jay Ajayi is good for. He gets stronger as the game goes on. He helps you be able to protect a lead. And on the other side, when you're trying to get that ball back, you've got to be able to stop the run, get them into a third and long, get the ball back to your offense so they can go drive and kick the game-tying field goal or whatever.
That being said, you know, I picked the Chargers to win 33-28.
Yeah.
What's the more likely way that happens? Phillip Rivers throws for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, or Melvin Gordon rushes for 150 yards and 3 scores?
Wow.
I think it's Rivers, right? I think there's a better chance that Rivers goes off in this game than Gordon goes off in this game.
I would say so. I just don't trust the Dolphins' run defense, but when you look at the talent, I depend on Phillip Rivers more to win a game than Melvin Gordon. But when you look at vulnerabilities, any running back could get a buck 50 on the Dolphins.
I think
I think you're right. Phillip Rivers, he's the number one guy that you're going to target as a defense.
All right, let's take our next question from the YouTube chat from DJ Mann. The Miami Dolphins just extended TJ contract, and last time I checked, the McDolphins. It's TJ McDonald. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, the Dolphins do not have all the money in the world. So what are they going to do about Jarvis's contract situation? What do you think they're going to do about Landry?
It really doesn't have much to do with TJ McDonald's money. That's separate. Jarvis's situation is he's a slot receiver who wants to get paid as an outside receiver. We remember this from Jimmy Graham, right? He's a tight end who said he should be paid as a wide receiver. So that's kind of the thing that's going to be in Jarvis's way more than available money. It's the Dolphins probably don't want to give him as much money as he wants. What's going to happen? I don't know. You know, if you franchise Jarvis, you're going to end up paying him $15 million or whatever it is.
I don't think they're going to do that.
No, you're going to end up paying him more than you would have on a multi-year deal. So I don't know. I really don't know. I don't want to start sounding alarms and saying, say goodbye to Jarvis Landry. This is his last year in a Dolphins uniform, but something dramatic has to happen.
The question is there someone out there who will pay him that? That's the question.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. You're a slot receiver. You know, you're not a prime NFL desire.
Right.
You're a necessity, but as far as, you know, you're not Julio Jones or you're not Antonio Brown. You're not going downfield causing that kind of damage. Jarvis is steady and sturdy and excitable and, you know, electric and all that, but he's just not the same over-the-top type guy.
I totally understand the answer to this question is going to depend on how well Devontae Parker plays this year.
Yeah.
But if all and the contract situations are a little different because the timing is different. Mm-hmm. But knowing what we know up to this point, if you had to pay, are you taking Devontae or taking Jarvis?
Ooh, I've got to see it from Devontae. That's the whole thing with Devontae. Look, Matt, talent-wise, I think Devontae might have the most raw talent of anybody on that team. I'm including Ndamukong Suh, Rashad Jones, Jay Cutler, Jay Ajayi. This kid is just talented. I mean, the game comes so easily for him, but he's got to do the other things that come with it as far as hydration and nutrition and rest and being places when you say you're going to be there. The injury's not really his fault, the foot and the hamstring, but he's got to be more professional. If he takes care of that stuff off the field, this kid could be a monster, as wide receivers coach Sean Jefferson said, and he could be poised for, I think, a gigantic year, is what offensive coordinator Clyde Christensen said. This kid is good.
Yeah. You take the grit, toughness, and attitude of Landry and give it to Devontae Parker and get the best.
He's an all-pro. Right, he's an all-pro.
Next, from YouTube, Luke, who are the top five players that can make or break another playoff appearance this season?
Man, you know, Jay Ajayi. Jay Ajayi is number one.
That's for you.
That's for me. Yeah, that's for me. Let's see. Cutler, definitely. Devontae Parker. Boy, now who would be the others? They've got to be players.
They've got to be defensive players, I think. Also, I mean, Laremy Tunsil has got to be a...
He's got to be Laremy Tunsil from Ole Miss.
Yeah.
He's got to be solid, like a top, you know, a top tackle. Not, you know, all pro, but a top tier. Top third of the league or whatever you want to say. I've got Ajayi, Cutler, Parker. Should I? Cam Wake. And you know what, man? I'll just say middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Whether it's Hole or Maualuga or a player to be named later. So I'm going to go Ajayi, Cutler, Parker, Wake, and the middle linebacker position. Sue has been very effective the previous 2 years. I don't know, you know, it's better to have him than not. Brent Grimes was very effective. You didn't get to the playoffs with him. It's hard to pick these guys, but that's who I'm
It's hard to pick those guys, too, because I feel like this is two different questions, right? You're asking, okay, who needs to be the Dolphins' five best players?
Yep.
You can look at the answer to this question
right,
that way.
Right.
Or you can answer the question of, who are the five keys to the season?
Yeah.
Meaning guys that
gotta perform.
We really don't know necessarily how good they are, how good they could be. You could argue that Parker belongs on both of those.
Parker's at the top. He's probably at the top.
But I feel like I got a good feeling about what we're going to get out of Jay Ajayi. I feel like I know what we're going to get out of Jay Ajayi. I don't feel like I necessarily know what we're going to get out of Laremy Tunsil or Byron Maxwell or the middle linebacker, the left guard.
Yeah. Ted Larson will be back, but hopefully it's sooner rather than later for the offensive line's sake.
I don't know if I can come up with five.
That's
so
many questions. I know. They have so many questions. And look, I'll tell you this, Adam Gase might belong on that list from the standpoint of he was very instrumental and responsible for that turnaround from 1-4 to 10-6. His actions, benching the two veterans and cutting the three offensive linemen, leaving Jay Ajayi at home. I mean, Adam Gase wanted to set a tone, and apparently the message got through. So, you know, I might have to actually even have Gase on the. He's not a player. It might have specifically asked for players.
Yeah.
But people, you know, I mean, importance.
In some ways, I'm sure he would have rather not had the season start this way and to not go without a bye. But you know what? These are big time coaching moments.
Yep.
These are big time, you know, ways to get the guys motivated, yeah. and, you know, and bond together. And we're going through adversity and all
right.
that
and
kind of stuff.
We did it last year, right?
That can actually lead to some positive things happening.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Twitter and get some of the questions from you guys. Let's see, something that we haven't answered already. Remy. Is Cutler's better pocket presence, will that help improve the red zone troubles?
That's a good question because I'm not sure that Ryan Tannehill's pocket presence caused a lot of red zone problems. The tight end position, we haven't talked about Julius Thomas.
Yeah,
and when you talk
true.
About red zone, that's somebody who has to come through. Cutler found him for the 1 yard touchdown pass.
Philly,
I think. Yeah, so, but we hadn't seen that relationship at all. You know, Julius Thomas has been very low-key during training camp and preseason. I think that Julius Thomas could help more than Jay Cutler's pocket presence. And I know you didn't ask about Julius Thomas,
right.
but I think when you look at red zone and how the field is compacted and you need big bodies, Devontae and Julius Thomas will be more important to scoring touchdowns than Cutler's pocket presence, which is good, which is better than Tannehill's.
Yeah, there are three types of tight ends. There's your tight end that can do just about anything, can go down the seam and mm-hmm. catch a big play, shows lots of athleticism, the Gronk type of guy.
Yeah, what Gates used to be.
Yeah, what is there, maybe six, seven guys.
Yeah, handful.
Then you've got the tight ends that block a lot, but also in short yardage situations mm-hmm. in the red zone can make plays.
Yep.
And then you've Fasano got...
Fasano is kind of like that. Kinda.
And then you've got your third group that just basically blocks.
Right.
And I think Julius Thomas... used to be in the first.
Definitely used to be.
But if he can be in the middle group,
yep.
if he can just score, maybe he catches 7-8 touchdowns, makes some big plays, that's going to
be
such a big...
7 or 8 touchdowns would be huge.
Touchdowns.
That would be huge. I mean, they would be ecstatic.
They only need to catch like 500 yards.
Right.
They have all these weapons on the outside. They don't need to make big plays in the middle of the field.
Yep.
But when they get down there and...
He's
got to
be an option.
Jarvis is neutralized
right.
a little bit,
right.
and Kenny Stills is neutralized.
Yeah, Jarvis is a slot receiver, and coaches will always tell you it's easier to double-team those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all that traffic in the middle and everything like that, you've got your outside guys, but you need that other guy. Yeah. And, no, that's Julius Thomas.
Box it out, throw it to a window.
Yep,
and
make yourself big, like in basketball, right?
I just lost it. My phone just froze up here. Let's get another question.
Yeah, linebacker play is going to be interesting. We haven't mentioned Kiko Alonso and Lawrence Timmons either. Kiko on the weak side, Timmons on the strong side. Timmons had kind of a low-key training camp, mm-hmm. but he was taking heads off it in preseason games. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. What kind of attitude can he bring to that defense, specifically to the run defense? You know, Timmons does not mess around. So if you get Sue, you get Rashad, you get Cam Wake, you get some hard heads out there against the run to set a tone. Kiko has that same attitude, but he's just a little small. These guys can preach it and live it and do it, and that can become infectious. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Lawrence Timmons brings to that defense, specifically on the run.
That's one of the things I'm worried just a little bit about. Is we've talked about, and lots of has been written about this team having, 1 to 12 or 15, they are really good.
Really good.
Lots
really good.
Of players that you'd want anywhere.
Yep.
But then the rest, the other 40
then
guys.
Falls off, right. No, you're exactly right.
You're not so sure about.
Yeah, and I think that the Dolphins have done a good job under Gase and Tannenbaum and Chris Greer of making guys better. Mm-hmm. In other words, you draft them and you make them better. You coach them up. You bring them up in your system. Tony Lippett, perfect example of a guy who got better. He came here and he got better. Bobby McCain, I don't know, Jay Ajayi, but that's a fifth round pick, you know. So you see a lot of that. And I think that when you talk about the roster, you know, numbers, whatever, 12 through 53 or whatever you want to pick, that's a lot of your player development, not just training camp, but since last year, and they've been in your offseason program, and they've been in these moments from last season. Now, are they going to improve this season? They didn't make the play last year. It was over their head. Have you coached them up? Have they seen enough football that now, this year, they will make that play? That's a big key.
Yeah, and I think last year, too, the Dolphins, they were better at little guys, you know, or not little guys, but secondary players.
Like Sam Young.
BC or players guys, coming in and making big plays.
Yeah.
Kenyon Drake had a game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, Jakeem Grant.
Jakeem Grant, we haven't talked about, also could be a playmaker. Steven asks, short week and a loss or rust slash hurricane slash travel? What's the more important factor this Sunday?
Rust week and a loss or the hurricane? Oh, boy. That's
So yeah, what's more tougher mentally?
I've got to say it's the hurricane travel and the stress of the just the disruption. This isn't just a situation of where, you know, you had a lightning strike at the facility and now you have to leave. This is, there was disruption and chaos, you know, down here. And I mean that relative, you know, I don't want to disrespect anybody in the Keys or anything like that. But there was disruption and chaos as far as finding gas and do you have electricity on right now and did a tree fall in your house on top of your house and cause damage and how are your friends, how are your relatives, and you know, when I get back, you know, am I going to be able to find gas, is my water running, is my elevator working, all that. I think that's more stressful than coming off of a loss or having rust or being on a short week or, you know, playing that Thursday night game. I think this is more disruptive.
Right. All that said, though, I think they know going through all of that and then also losing makes it all that much worse. Let's take one more question. It comes from Jimmy. He just sent this in. Has Grant fixed his punt drop issue to give the special teams that extra explosiveness?
So far in the preseason, it looks like he's done very well addressing that issue. I don't think he's mishandled a punt or a kickoff in a preseason game.
Not.
Yeah, we saw it a little bit in practice, but in a game, we have not seen it. The Dolphins hope that he is. Look, this is a guy who, you talk about guys coaching up guys and the guys, you know, 12 through 53 on your roster. This is a guy who is a test case for that, right? Because last year, he had a lot of problems handling kickoffs and punts, and he was only a slot receiver whose hands were shaky and his route running was shaky. Now he's an outside receiver, hands are better, route running is better, he's handled the ball better on kickoffs and punts. He's a guy who, if you just feel that if he could handle that ball and secure it, he can do some damage. He could score more than one touchdown on a return during the season. So is he over it? Well, we've seen good signs of that. We aren't going to know till we're like, a third of the way into the season, does that confidence grow? Another thing to look for from the coaches on that front, if the Dolphins are catching a punt deep in their own territory, do they bring in Jarvis Landry for the secure hands, or do you trust Jakeem? That's how you'll know whether the coaches think Jakeem has made progress.
Right. Well, and tell me if I'm wrong, but in the South Florida media, there are two more polar opposites on Jakeem Grant than you and Omar over there?
That's true. I he's a fellow Texan.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, I support my Texans.
Well, and I would say this on Grant. I think one thing, and certainly the season hasn't even started yet, but he has shown in the preseason, which means nothing,
right,
that he could become a weapon. Something, somewhere, sometime down the line, may make a play or two or three that could win a game.
Yeah.
And I would say that everyone that sort of wrote him off, maybe we can't write off fifth-round picks in their rookie year. At the same time, the Dolphins were in a position where they were relying on a fifth-round pick in their rookie season to make important plays, and that was probably as much on
the Dolphins.
Them,
right.
As well, wasn't Jakeem's fault. Everyone else for, yeah. For giving up on
him. And I'll tell you this about Jakeem from scrimmage. We saw him make some impressive plays in preseason games, and I know a few people told me, yeah, but he's playing against backups when he's in the regular season, blah, blah, blah. Well, look at it like this. There's always a time in the regular season you're going to catch somebody with injuries, and their fourth cornerback is going to be out there, or their fifth cornerback. That's when you can get Jakeem in that one-on-one situation. Jay Ajayi has been pounding on him. They have to play an eight-man front, and you get Jakeem against the fourth or fifth cornerback on a certain team. You make eye contact with Jay Cutler. This is the one. You can go over there. You're not going to do this on Richard Sherman or the, you know, Patrick Peterson, but you get another corner and maybe, and it's not going to happen every game, but maybe four or five times in a season, you do get a chance to take advantage of that, and maybe he scores two touchdowns this season off of that.
Or, I mean, you know, DBs are sprinting up and back with Stills and Devontae Parker.
Yep, get a
little
fatigue.
Those guys, when you're moving fast, check out.
Yeah.
You know, then you check in Jakeem Grant and have him run a sprint, and there aren't many people that can keep up with him.
Yeah, so. He's got a lot of potential as a weapon, but run routes, catch that ball,
catch
and secure
ball.
It.
Yeah,
that's kind of you're a receiver, right? Sure. You're a receiver and return man. All secure the ball.
All right, enjoy this perk.
Oh, me too, Matt.
You can fill in whatever.
It. Yeah, thanks, right. man. All thanks, right. I appreciate that.
Omar, maybe you should skip shows more often.
I didn't say that.
You
didn't
say that.
But I agree.
I said it.
Yeah,
I said it.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you so much for watching or listening on to the podcast on iNews. You can download it. Just search for X's and Omar. And remember, next week we will be live at Gulfstream Park. Next week and for the rest of the season. It's going to be exciting. Thanks for watching.